Hey, this is Mark Deal, and I'm probably best known within the podcasting circles as the organizer of Podcast Atlanta and the admin of a couple of Facebook groups, such as the Podcast Editors Club and Podcast Guest Experts. This will actually be my first PodFest, and I'm excited to speak at a panel on growing your community through local meetups on Saturday, February 10th at 9:25 a.m. Though I'm pretty active within the podcasting community, my main podcasting role is that of a podcast producer for attorneys and law firms. So with that having been said, here's the episode highlight that I am submitting. It's one of the shows I work on called EB5 Investment Voice. And I like this particular episode because I had a chance to interview a past presidential candidate, Reverend Jesse Jackson. Take a listen if you're so inclined, and do find me at PodFest. Come up and say hi. Welcome to EB5 Investment Voice, where attorney insights intersects with immigration investments. If you are a foreign investor, domestic fund manager, or enterprising entrepreneur and want to get the most out of the EB5 program, you have come to the right place. I'm Mark Deal, and I'll be your co-host on this journey. I'm joined by your host, Mona Shaw, and other attorneys at Mona Shaw & Associates, as well as immigration leaders from around the world. So let's get into EB5 Investment Voice. Mona Shaw, how are you doing today?
I'm very well, Mark.
I know we have a guest today, and so I would like to introduce him.
He's delighted to be here, too.
For nearly 50 years, he has played a pivotal role in virtually every movement for peace, civil rights, empowerment, gender equality, and social justice all over the world. Please join me in welcoming to the show the great unifier, the consciousness of the nation, the Reverend Jesse L. Jackson, Sr. Reverend Jackson, how are you doing today?
I'm delighted to be with you and Monica today. I'm so delighted.
Reverend, we are honored that you are here today with us.
So, as Marvin Gaye would say, let's get it on.
Right.
Let's get it on. Let's do.
Mark, we can't go further without mentioning something of what's been going on. We've been inundated with calls and messages from clients who are worried about the president's executive order. So we wanted to actually just start by just saying a couple of words about it.
I would agree. We can't ignore it. So let's address it.
Right.
It's a comedy and a calamity of missteps. America is rebelling against these steps that are going contrary to our policy, or even to reasonable, rational sense. For example, one day you make a priority building a wall between us and Mexico, which essentially is Latin America. Two-thirds of this hemisphere is Spanish-speaking.
Right.
North America is only one-third of our hemisphere. So to push off Mexico, South Central Latin America, that's a step in the wrong direction, it seems. Then to get entangled with China and Taiwan, and to embroil them in fears, that is another source of sensitivity. And the Japanese, another source of sensitivity, are the Europeans on the issue of the role of NATO vis-a-vis Putin and Russia, another sensitivity. And now the issue of refugees. I might add that it's a moral issue. Jesus was a refugee. Egypt was a sanctuary, sparing his life on the facing genocide. People have tried to come in from all over the world on the American promise of giving your tithe, your poor, your whole masses who yearn to breathe free. And this time, the turn away is so reminiscent of what happened to people trying to escape Germany in World War II. A ship came here full of Jewish people called the St. Louis.
Right.
And they were turned away and sent back to death. So to turn refugees away is immoral. And in with one stroke of the pen, President Trump isolated America from most of the world.
Right. I do want to echo not only your words, Reverend, but also to our clients and investors. This view is not what the majority do feel in this country. As Americans, everybody, we do welcome not just refugees, but people from all walks and all faiths.
And tell investors, this point of view will not prevail.
Right.
The Assistant Attorney General was fired, but really as a conscientious objector. The generals around him and the key cabinet people, they didn't know about it. They don't agree with it. Those who march at airports all around the country didn't know about it. And so there's a sense in which Mr. Trump at this point is going against the wind. And well, he's the captain of the ship. The winds of hope and inclusion are blowing. And those winds will determine the course of the American ship.
I so agree. for investors and for people who might have just visited these countries or might have done a period of time working in, maybe they've worked a year in Iran or something, you are not precluded from coming into this country. Whether or not you don't feel like coming in anymore is a different story. But as I can stress to you, that the vast majority of American people do not feel this way.
Oddly enough, the U.S. Congress, Republicans and Democrats alike,
yep,
the sense of bad judgment has offended both parties because it's not the American way. It's not good for business. It's not good morality. It's not good for humanity. After all, it was our intervention into Iraq on the false premise that began this process of calamity in the first place. It was our bad judgment on a lie to go into Iraq, kill up a lot of people, then go fast forward into Libya, and then get hung up in Syria. We helped create the crisis, and we have a real moral obligation and the capacity to help remedy it. You don't remedy it by humiliating people who save their little dollars and dimes and nickels and pennies, and they come this way only to go from the airport to detention. What a horrible sight. That will stop.
Well, thank you for those words, Reverend, and I know that our listeners will really appreciate what you have had to say. We had scheduled this podcast for a different reason. We had asked you, of course, none of us knew that all of this was going to happen a couple of days just before our podcast, but we've asked you to come on the show for the purpose of introducing the Rainbow Bush Coalition and the Wall Street Project and how EB-5 really fits into all of this.
Rainbow Bush Wall Street Project encourages investment, local, national, foreign investment and development. Inclusion is the key to growth. When there's growth, everybody wins. As a civil rights matter, this is the fourth stage of our struggle. African Americans were in this country for 246 years in slavery. We were the commodity on the commodity exchange. Another 100 years of legal apartheid in this country are Jim Crow. Then we got the right to vote, the third stage. But the fourth stage of our development is access to capital and industry and technology and deal flow. And while many African Americans and Latinos have been locked out of the economy, we are the fast emerging market. The 100 largest cities are majority black and brown, for example. These cities now, it's clear, need infrastructure. Even Trump is talking about infrastructure in these cities. But an infrastructure comes houses and business and development, which becomes investable projects. Most of these ghettos or these urban barrios represent market, money, talent, location, and growth. They're underserved, they're undercapitalized, so they're really ripe for investors, global.
Right. And the Rainbow Push Coalition has come forth, or rather it's the Wall Street Project, has come forth with some amazing projects. And you have an event coming up, Reverend.
February 15th through 17th here at the Hyatt, Grand Hyatt Hotel in New York City.
Right. And what is this event?
What is it? Bringing investors together. We opened up on the 15th with ministers from around the nation who themselves, their congregations, are large consumers and investors. Another would be the business people who've been dealing on Wall Street, getting access to deals and being a part of deals, and Silicon Valley.
Right.
Which is part of our work. The third is reaching out in the international community. A lot of Africans will be here from South Africa, Nigeria, and Equatorial Guinea. But they're welcome from Iran and around the world. We're looking for investors with whom we can co-partner and green line the red line zones.
And where would the investments be? Would it be in New York City or would it be in other areas?
Well, it should not be limited to New York City after all.
Right.
The greatest American city is Chicago, by the way. But really, not only is it the big cities like New York and Chicago and L.A., but a lot of medium-sized cities with 250,000 people
right.
are the growth cities in the country today. Like Flint, Michigan, the focus right now is on the issue of lead in the paints, water right. and lead paints. But that's the city that GM was founded in. It's about an hour and a half away from Detroit. The city's 150,000 people. The city's the size of Flint will not be getting infrastructure, but infrastructure will come business
right.
And investment and houses and small businesses and not so small businesses. And so I think America has some low-hanging fruit when it comes to being ripe for investment.
Right. And we are reaching out to developers all over the country to actually take part. perhaps attend this event, if not help donate to the event, and really bring your ideas as far as projects are concerned, correct?
Let me give you, with all the focus now on the violence in these cities, in part because guns in, drugs in, jobs out, has been a kind of abandonment policy. But now abandoning these cities has become too expensive. Therefore, there's a renewed look at what is the value of these cities. Well, if there's a White House conference, which we're urging, on urban reconstruction, violence causes and cures, we have to stop the violence. Secondly, gender and racial disparities. Thirdly, the impact of poverty on people's lack of growth and lack of development, where people learn to invest and save, not just spend and consume. But if you're going to reconstruct, suppose you begin to remove lead paint and lead out the water jobs. You begin to cut down the weeds and the grass, landscapers, jobs, demolish those structures that cannot withstand any more development, jobs. For those structures can be restarted, the sunken roofs and the broken sidewalks. The point is, these cities are ripe for a major investment opportunity.
A natural marriage with EB5, one would say, with all of the job creation.
It's an absolute marriage for HB5, because when we're concerned, we're committed to the HB5s philosophically.
Yeah.
We believe in the Rainbow Coalition. We think that one mistake has been made with such a vertical gap between the surplus culture and the deficit culture, those who have more than they need,
right,
and those who don't have enough, is that we globalize capital without globalizing human rights and workers' rights and investment opportunities and children's rights and environmental security. We must globalize all of this. For example, if the U.S. were paying China in a basketball game, which they do in the Olympics,
yeah,
and what is the salient characteristic of that game, and is very welcomed, is because the playing field is even. And the rule of public goals are clear, the referees are fair, and score is transparent. Let the winner win, let the loser lose, and shake hands and move on to the next game. Those conditions should expand to trade and investment. But right now, the concern is that if it goes over to a trade Olympics, mm-hmm, rather than an athletic Olympics, the playing field is not even.
Wrong.
Rules not public. Goals not clear. Referees not fair. Score not transparent. We must globalize economic investment opportunities.
Wow, that's a great point of view. Reverend, tell us about some of the successful projects and investments that the Rainbow Coalition have done previously.
You know, one of the things we've been able to do is the New York Stock Exchange to recognize the Dr. King holiday, which they were not doing. It's now an official holiday. Wall Street closes on January 15th, the King holiday. That's a success. But beyond that, we've been able to get investors involved in these pension fund deals and the hedge fund deals. And then these buyouts and buybacks, the whole range of economic opportunities that come off of Wall Street mainly, but also Peachtree Street in Atlanta, or LaSalle Street in Chicago, or Silicon Valley. So there's a great diversity of opportunity, and there's no talent shortage, there's an opportunity shortage.
Right.
But there's always an investment shortage. So those who have a will to invest and take reasonable risk, there's a market awaiting you.
I love how you poised this, that now we want to, you know, encourage the investment, access to capital and industry for, well, the areas that, you know, haven't seen this in, well, probably the history of the country, or maybe there's focus and that focus is taken away. What development projects are you happy to facilitate through the Rainbow Push that will benefit the urban community?
Well, these urban communities need adequate and affordable housing. They'll need schools refurbished. Chicago, for example, 80,000 vacant homes on abandoned lots. Detroit, 100,000 vacant homes on abandoned lots. They'll need housing reconstruction. Chicago closed 50 public schools. And they'll need school reconstruction. They'll need infrastructure, as we now begin to talk about fast rail, where we make steel, lay rail, build trains and cars, connect towns and cities and suburbs. For too long, we have ignored these possibilities. But now we've come full circle. We know that jails are too expensive. We know lack of education is too expensive. We know lack of investment, too much concentrated investment, is a mistake. So there's a sense that we must broaden the investment base and broaden the benefits that are reaped from it.
Yeah, Mark, one of the main goals as well that we are trying to get out of this whole event is the fact that EB5 projects don't have to be the big glamour hotels or the big glamour projects. a person can invest in something and really help the needy and have a return and get his money back, and as well as create jobs.
You know, it may be you want to buy a number of car dealerships,
right?
Food franchises, stores, a number of less than the high glamour events, but any investment that gives you a return on your investment is glamorous.
Right. This indeed may be glamorous because we're talking about real estate, which EB-5 pairs with very well in areas that underutilize resources and are currently, well, undervalued areas. I say currently undervalued because I can imagine that the value of these areas, these urban areas, would be increased significantly with new houses and new schools and investment into people's lives and investment into people's education, investment into people's well-being.
Well, also to find partners. You know, if I were to go to Hong Kong right now, I would not know with whom to invest. I wouldn't know the players.
Right.
Here we can help facilitate relationships. The key African-American and Latino, like Loop Capital and Ramirez Capital, Hispanic, or Cibic Capital, the female firm, the people investing, who your investment peers, HB5 workers, will be at this conference. And then you can determine what should be lucrative priority investments and where the investment zones are. Because if you decide to green line the red line zones, capital has a way of following capital.
I think it was last week, Senator Feinstein and Senator Grassley introduced a bill into Congress to get rid of or to eliminate the EB-5 program completely. Of course, everybody's going to oppose this bill, so we're not particularly worried. But I do want to send a message out to people who cannot see the good that EB-5 can do. If we can just direct investors to projects where, again, there's not only job creation, but we're doing some good to the country and to humanity. And it's not at any taxpayer's expense. I mean, there's not a penny going out of the taxpayer's money. It's all new capital coming in and forming jobs, creating an environment whereby there is an economic prosperity. And at the same time, these new investors are welcome into the country and eventually come down the path of they get residency and citizenship.
Last year, a major bridge collapsed in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yes.
For example.
Yeah.
Often the railroads business is lacking because of lack of tracks and infrastructure development. So there's now a sense in which we know that airports have to be rebuilt and trains and train stations and airplanes. So there is really no limit as to what are investable projects. And I want to meet with some EB potential investors to facilitate connecting with. That's what we really want to have a major session would potentially be investors connecting with their appropriate peers here in New York and America.
Reverend, how can people get involved? What would you suggest? I mean, other than attending the event on February 15th and 17th,
When you attend the event, you'll get to meet the people that you should form relationships and partnerships with. I think that's the real deal. You can read the logistics of the event, but to me, the value of coming is to be in an environment where there are other potential allies in the process.
And I have to say that your Wall Street Project Economic Summit has some amazing speakers, Reverend. You have the Honorable Charles Schumer, U.S. Senator from New York. You have Charles Rangel, a long-time representative from New York. You have Scott Stringer. You have Kurt Summers. You have Benjamin Crump. Ed Gordon, he's an award-winning journalist. Susan Taylor.
Kurt Summers is the treasurer in the city of Chicago.
Yes, that's right.
And we have other state treasurers. We'll deal with state pensions. So part of our concern would be pensions and beyond pensions, how do you get into the next level of capital, which is hedge funds. And so hedge funders will be here as well.
Fantastic. And of course, everybody must register. If you want to know about registration, Mark, we can tell the audience they can get in contact with us and then we can put them in contact with the right people.
The minister's event kicks it off. Ministers, because they're so influential in the market.
Yeah.
That's $150 a plate, a $1,500 luncheon. But the gala on Thursday night, featuring the singing of People Bryce, among others, is $4,000 a table. It's a good chance to meet peers. I cannot place for investors coming into the States. You know the science of capital. That's why you pursue EB opportunities. But you may not know the people. You may not know partners. And the key to this thing is you do business with people that you know and trust and like. If you don't know people or don't trust and don't like them, you never do business with them. And so we're expanding the base of the marketplace.
Right. And then, so for investors who are come in, and maybe they've come in with their green card, if they've applied for some a really good EB-5 project and they're here, what they can do here is unlimitless. They can meet investors, and meet developers.
Even in the rush of times, given what happened this weekend, green cards are permitted.
Reverend Jackson, I do want to ask you a question. You have an active history in the civil rights movement. You got your start on the pavement, as it were, and have witnessed the fight for civil rights firsthand through your own evolution and expansion with greater influence, and continue to be at the ground level of many of these movements. We're starting to see a resurgence of that now for, well, the immigrant community, based off of the bans that the President of the United States have put into place against some of these nations. Do you see any corollaries with what's happening with the immigrant community right now, and based off what you've personally witnessed?
There are some unfounded fears about immigrants. They have not been the source of violence, number one. They've been the source of growth. They're not taking jobs. Their development represents growth. Their involvement is not a zero-sum game. It is, in fact, growth. But let's go a step further. The jobs that are being lost are lost to technology. The coal mining industry, as we have known it, may never come back. It may not be necessary to come back, for example. Many years ago, you go to an automotive plant, you wear your tough, hard shoe, hard hat, greasy uniform. You could almost eat off of the floor of an automotive plant now. It's so automated. It's just a matter of pushing buttons and making the right connections. So the world's educational demands are changing. So whether you're an HB worker or H1B worker or EB worker, that's the demand of this world. A greatness of America is expanding its tent. This idea given by Emma Lazarus on the Statue of Liberty, give me your tired, you pull your whole masses, you yearn to breathe free, that welcome mat still is there.
I would certainly hope so.
Well, you can see, interestingly enough, you would not know just how deep the roots are of appreciating immigrants if you had not seen the demonstration in the last few weeks.
Right,
we have no way of kind of evidencing or proving that there was such sensitivity to this issue.
Even this weekend, Reverend, just yesterday there was a demonstration down here in Madison.
Most people marching are not immigrants. These are people already here.
Right.
These are demonstrations about immigrants, for immigrants, but not by them, because many of them are afraid to march. But the basic American public is saying, this is not who we are.
Agreed.
We stand to look at the world through a door, not through a keyhole.
Yeah, I was at a demonstration a couple of days ago in Atlanta, and you're right. It was a very diverse, very mixed group of people. There were some people that were either the sons and daughters of immigrants, maybe they were immigrants themselves, but they were also the community as a whole. You know, as you mentioned earlier, one of your examples of Germany and in the Jewish community, there were a lot of people from the Jewish community there basically saying, you know, we've seen this before. We don't like this. You don't want to go down this path that our community has felt in the past. And it was very peaceful, very respectful, but a lot of people had some strong feelings about what's happening. And it's very critical to note that although the president has signed a couple of executive orders, that a majority of the United States and a lot of the major metropolitan areas don't feel that way. It's a very inclusive area.
Well, there are kind of five groups that make up America. There's the slave tradition, those who came out of 246 years of slavery. There are immigrants, there are refugees, and there are those who are American-born of immigrants, and there are those who are already domiciled here. Those peoples make up America, and we are going forward, but I hope we're not going backwards by fear.
Yeah, I agree. Wholeheartedly.
Let's talk a little bit more about Rainbow Push, the Wall Street Project, and the Economic Summit that's coming up.
It will be at the Grand Hyatt Hotel in New York City, February 15th through 17th. You can register now, and you can give them details on how and when they can register.
I'll certainly cover those details at the end of the show, but let's talk a little bit about what's going to happen at the summit.
And just to facilitate the meeting between investors from abroad, the EB workers, investors, and those who are already here, we want to help facilitate that meeting, or those meetings.
That would be fantastic, Reverend, and we'd be honored to be able to assist the facilitation.
Citigroup will be here, and Wells Fargo will be here. The major banks also will be here.
Right. And we're looking also for good developers who understand the EB-5 world to be able to reach out and look at some of the projects that the Wall Street Summit is going to be presenting.
In all fairness, relative to Trump, There's a big headline today is he's looking for enterprising H-1B workers trained.
Yes.
He's looking for EB investors who can make a contribution. So once he gets past some of this diversionary stuff he's involved in, on the business side, he's pro-business, he's pro-investment.
He's very pro-investment. He's very pro-EB5. I mean, his son-in-law has already used EB5 in a couple of projects. They are aware of it. They do welcome investors coming in.
For those who have a reasonable fear, there's no basis for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, this is the annual Rainbow Push Wall Street Projects Economic Summit. I hope people will register and come. And if not, if they're not able to for some reason, I hope that at least they would be interested in knowing more
and
about...
And it's just $700 to register for the conference and $1,500 for the luncheons.
Right.
And $4,000 for the... be a great gala on the night of the 16th.
Well, we're going to reach out to all our local people, all our local EB5 friends and colleagues and
I'm anxious to meet with them. Let's have a special reception.
We are, of course, talking about the 20th Annual Wall Street Project Summit and Fundraiser. And it's starting 2 weeks from the release of this episode. That is February 15th through 17th, 2017. It's at the Grand Hyatt New York, which is right next to the Grand Central Station in New York City. Our very own Mona Shaw will be on the urban policy panel as part of the economic summit covering EB5 topics. In addition to the summit, there is also an annual gala fundraiser, which will be on Thursday night, February 16th. As Reverend Jackson mentioned, the general summit and gala tickets are available for $700. Of course, day passes and individual event access is also available. And if you want to host an entire table to seat 10 at the gala, well, that's available as well. Of course, this is more than just a summit. This is a fundraiser. Your ticket purchase will help the Wall Street Project continue to help underserved minorities have access to education, connections, as well as private capital they may not get otherwise. If you'd like to learn more about this event and even register, well, we've made it easy for you. We've embedded the link to the registration for this fundraiser right in your podcast player, or if you're listening to the show on our website at mshawlaw.com. You'll see a link right there on the bottom of the show notes page. Reverend Jackson, thank you so much for joining us today on EB5 Investment Voice.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for being with us today on EB5 Investment Voice. The topics presented in this podcast is informational in nature and is not to be taken as specific legal advice. If you have questions on the topics presented in this episode or other investment immigration needs, please contact Mona Shaw and Associates. Mona and her attorney staff can be reached at mshawlaw.com. That's mshahlaw.com. Make sure you don't miss our next episode focusing on a different aspect of the EB5 program by subscribing to the podcast. While you're at it, leave us a rating on iTunes. If you really found this episode valuable, share it with someone else that could benefit from this information. Until then, I'll see you on the next episode of EB5 Investment Voice.